Okay, today's daf is Memchet, and we began Halacha Chet last year, where it's a person we're talking about this concept of a get yashan. You remember, this was a someone who decided to divorce his wife, and says, "Let's have actually not get this one get yashan. Get yashan we did prior to that, so it means correct. This was talking about someone who wrote a get for his wife, and then he changed his mind, whether that's pasa min hakona or not. So that's more accurate. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yanai, ein ba. Well, here the girsa we had in Masechta Yevamot was. Ain la ella mishum zihum kehuna. According to Beit Hillel, what it means is ain la ella mishum zihum kehuna, meaning there was it's only the kohanim were marchikota. They wouldn't marry her, but rather the way you continue the Gemara, the ain beitin mezaheminota. However, if you beitin, according to Beit Hillel, there's no issue. That's how we explained it back in Masechta Yevamot. But the Korban Eder here reads it. By the way, Shayare Korban actually changes it like this, but the Korban Eder explains it. Initially, he says, "Lebeit Hillel afilu miuchasim shbekuna muturim ba, vein beit emrachakin ota b'shum davar," meaning even the miuchasim kuna would be allowed according to Beit Hillel, and Beit Din have no sense of achraka. So not necessarily soter. It's just the way we explained in Yevamot was that the Kohanim themselves who may have been machmir not to marry in that situation, but that's not Mikra Din. Okay, fine. Let's continue. The incident that came before Rav, that came again before Rav Chiya, and he paskin like Beit Hillel, that he allowed her to marry a kohen. So Amar Lei Rav, Mar Itelech Nitzmah Lemispa. Why are you jumping into this suffix and committing? What does that mean? Why is it even a suffix? The suffix is that the way the Korban explains it here is that maybe Beit Hillel says only after the fact, maybe b'di'evit. If this woman ended up marrying a kohen, we don't say, "Oh, you're not allowed to, you should divorce." But lechachila, this woman whose husband initially wrote her a get to give it and changed his mind, and then say died, maybe lechachila, Beit Hillel wouldn't say that. So Amar Lei Rabbi Shmuel bar Yossi Havimi says, "No, I didn't do this on my own. I wasn't a dat yachid in this situation. I had Rabbi Shmuel bar Yossi with me." V'kare eleihun, and he spoke to this tova shnai min echad, which is two is better than one in terms of when they did the psak together. Now the Gemara means two extra dinim here. It also talks about, if you like, psulim lekuhuna, other activities. We've discussed, obviously there are more obvious ones, but these are ones that we discussed in the past, zona, things like that. However, these are situations that are also debated really between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel because of what we mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, first is hamasaledet bevana Beit Shammai poslim or Beit Hillel machshirin. Meaning if a woman stimulates herself by using her son, that's what it sounds like here. Beit Shammai says it's psulim, that would pasul minakuna, and Beit Hillel says, no, granted, she shouldn't be doing such a thing, but doesn't pasul minakuna. Similarly, shtei nashim, she will misaldot zeh zeh. So there are two women who are stimulating one another, so presumably some sort of a woman-to-woman relationship going on here. Once again, we say it's a machloka. Beit Shammai said that will posel them from kehuna, whereas Beit Hillel says, no, machshirin. It doesn't invalidate those women if they ended up changing their alignment, if you like, and wanting to marry a male kohen. Now the Gemara says, this is Nahalachatet, this next Mishnah. I think we've discussed this case before, that someone who, again, a man divorces his wife, and then they end up spending the same, spending a night in the same hotel. Beit Shammai says, we don't assume that, he doesn't require a second get. However, Beit Hillel says, according to Beit Hillel, they would need another get. We'll explain them when we get to the Gemara. So Eimatai, when do we say that's Beshinit Garsha Min HaNisuim? That's when they were married and got divorced. They're fully married, not just Erusin. We'll explain the difference soon. However, if they were, this couple was divorced from Erusin and then happened to spend the same place in the same lodging, same night and same lodging, then they wouldn't require a get, another get. Okay? Why gaspa? Meaning the concern that there was something happened together is only if there was a physical familiarity with one another. In other words, they were married. But erusin, since there wasn't, we're not concerned anything happened. So kansa beget kareach. If someone, in other words, divorce a woman with a get kareach if she marries somebody else, then teitzem ha'iluba. Now this get kareach, I sent you a video before the shiur that sort of demonstrates this very nicely. I put it on the WhatsApp group of this. But that refers to what's called a get mekushar. So Kohanim, this is all explained in the Korban Eder, but Kohanim were known to be a little bit hot-headed. And they would shoot from the hip, if you like, and if they had a fight with a wife, they would be tempted to divorce her. The unfortunate thing with specifically when it comes to a Kohen is if he divorces his wife, he's not allowed to remarry her. So therefore, Chachamim wanted to delay the process of writing a get for a Kohen divorcing his wife, in order that hopefully he'll cool down and change his mind, and the marriage could be salvaged, and they could be together. Because when if you unlike within Israel, if a Kohen divorces his wife, it's absolutely final. So what is get mukusha? What would happen is there would in a normal get, the signatures are written at the bottom of the document. A get mukusha, what would happen is they would write a line, fold that line down, and it would be, in other words, it would be folded over. So it would be a line of text with a blank space, so it would fold it over the blank space, and then the signatures would be, and sew it together, and then the signature of one witness would be written on the back of that text. Then they will continue that process again and again and again. So you get many signatures, and you can imagine the process takes a lot longer than just writing up a document and signing it, because you've got all this sewing and folding and also many signature people involved. Okay, what is a get kareach, literally a bald get? That is unfortunately a get where there are more folds than there are signatures. It's missing signatures. And in that situation, such a get is, if you like, would be passel. Why is that? I'll just show you here, the Korbaneta, this is like a few lines from the bottom. It says, "Mistama because the assumption is that the amount of folds is the amount of witnesses that he instructed to sign. Shema concerned, maybe the husband said, I want kulchem on all of you to sign. And therefore, if there's a gap, it might indicate that one of the people who instructed to sign, by the way, of instruction of the husband, didn't do his job. And therefore, the instructions of the husband weren't met faithfully, and that would get wouldn't be a kosher get. And all the penalties we discussed last year. That's the concept of get kareach. Again, we'll discuss in the Gemara. So the Gemara now says, what's the case of Hamagresha Tisha Velanima Bapuntikid? So Amar Rav Mana, Beit Shammai Kedatun and Beit Hillel Kedatun. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel al Lishitatam. How so? Beit Shammai Deinu Amrim Poter Adam. This is where I got confused in the beginning this year. Poter Adam Beget Yashan. Just as Beit Shammai says, a man can divorce his wife with a Get Yashan. So a Get Yashan is a get where he wrote it. It was dated and he ended up being beyichud with her after the get. Can you still use that get? We discussed that last time, that was based on the opinion of Beit Shammai that says man can only divorce his wife if he found matzar bat davar, found some sort of matter of immorality or something, and therefore there's no concern that they end up having relations at that point because she'd already be despicable in his eyes, or and therefore there's no concern. Maybe they were together after the get was say after the get was written. But Beit Hillel says there is a concern, and what's the concern? That they might be having a child, and it looks like this child was born out of a wedlock. Because the date is written before the birthday of this child. Okay, so that's what Beit Shammai says. Inun da Amri poter Adam ichto be'yasham, and inun da Amrin da enot tzricha get met sheni. So there, the Shita Beit Shammai says they don't need a second get. I'm not sure if this girsa here because it's added. Looks like it's added in the Hosvadar. Or Beit Hillel in da inun Amrim enot poter be'yasham. According to Beit Hillel, that says one cannot use a get yashan to divorce his wife. They're the ones that are concerned that there will be a familiarity. The grounds for divorce, if you remember, according to Beit Hillel, is much, much lighter. Just filu hiktiach tavshila, even if she just burnt dinner. So therefore, there is a concern that they might still have quite an attraction to her, and therefore you can't use a get yashan. And if the lanim puntikit were concerned that something occurred between the two, and it would be l'shem kiddushin. And that's why he needs a second get. So Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Abbon, all this rationale I just explained is being presented at the fore now, which is Beit Shammai kedaton and Beit Hillel kedaton. Beit Shammai Beit Hillel both according to Shita. Beit Shammai do na Amrim lo yigeresh adam et ishto elim ken matzah ba erva. According to Beit Shammai's Lishitatam, that the only grounds for the divorce is if it's mamash really extreme, that it was, for example, a matter of idolatry or immorality or something like that. So Inun d'Amrin, therefore, it's mizuhemeti melefanav. She's like, he won't be attracted to her. She's considered despicable in his eyes. Ve'enu chashud alai aliyah. There's no, if you like, suspicion that maybe they were with one another. Lefichach, that's why either with the get yashan or the lanim pundiki, you don't need tzricha me'enu tzricha me'enu get sheni. However, Beit Hillel din Amrin, I feel like tikkafshil, even for the slightest infraction, a husband can almost flippantly, it sounds like, divorce his wife. Therefore, she didn't do anything that would make her mezuhemet bifanav. And therefore, sorry, so therefore the suspicion that there will be yichud with another, either after the get was written, or in the situation where the divorce and spend a night in the pundit together, then they would need a tzricha get sheni, because it could say maybe he end up there, end up being together once again, l'shem kiddushin. That explains our Mishnah and how it was tied to the two debates are tied together. So Gemara now says, makom. If someone divorces his wife, then they cannot live in the same chatzel, the same shared courtyard, and not in the same place, makom. The gives a change on the side here, which is interesting, according to the Rashba and also Masechet Smachot, etc. That is actually means a tomavoy. So the idea is they should not live in close proximity to one another. Why so? So the Korbanator here says, bekoin, either we're talking about a kohen, Irie. And Afilu, even if she hasn't remarried since they've been divorced, and the Gzeira is Shema, maybe they'll be with one another, but the Kohen is Asur Begrusha. He cannot be again back together with his ex-wife. Inami, the other understanding is it's Be Israel, referring to not a Kohen, and he got divorced his wife. But the case is Lachar Shini said she's got remarried, and it's not good practice, if you like, it's not allowed that they could live in the same Chatzer. The husband, his ex-wife, and when she's married to somebody else, because again, the concern they might end up being together with one another. So the Gemara says that is, if the chatzer belonged to the wife, then the man would have to leave. If it belonged to the man, then isha mefaneh, she has to leave. Shel shneim, if it belongs to both of them, mifnei, who moves out? Says that isha mefaneh mipnei ish, the woman would have to move out. Meaning, if there were chatzel shneim, I guess they moved in the same time, or they're both. Then we say, well, actually, or there's joint ownership, then the woman would have to leave. Now the Gemara says, v'im yecholim hen, if we can find another solution to this, because let's say one of the houses backs on to another chatzer. Well, zeh potech lachan, v'zeh potech lachan. You can simply make the back door, the front door, and the front door, the back door, and close it off, such that they're no longer practically living in the same chatzer anymore. So that was our solution. The Gemara says, but do we say this? That's bizman shenisu. That is if the divorce was from marriage. Why? Because in that situation, there's familiarity with one another. Actually, the Pnei Moshe goes one step further and he explains that. Let's get it for you here. It says, mitok, because they're familiar with one another, she also understands his suggestive gestures and things like that. There's a concern that they might end up being together once again. So again, so it says, "Man, ben avarim, that's bizman shenisu, halo nisu lo." However, when it comes to kohenet, afilu lo nisu. When it comes to a kohenet, even if they were just betrothed, then and got divorced from betrothal, then that still would be not. They shouldn't live in the same chatzer. Why? Because once again, he's asur, if you like, a kohen's asur be grusha. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Va'arusa should be Yehuda kenusua," and when it comes to an arusa in Yehuda, we treat that as if they were married. Why so? Because if you remember, we mentioned that that in Yehuda the minhag was that during arusim they would let them, they would, in order to encourage the relationship and foster a sense of love before the marriage, they would allow them to be together in yichud during this zman arusin. So in that situation, since there's that familiarity with one another, we treat like a nesuah if they got divorced from that state. In that there's a heightened chashash that something might happen if they share the same chatzer. All right, let's continue. If someone does chalitza to the yavama. Even if he proceeded with a ma'amar, we don't consider it as if they were married. They don't have to separate, they don't have to leave, if you like. We don't say they can't live in the same, chatzer. She'ein ma'amar koneh kinyan gamur, because it's not like they got married. Okay? It's not like, or even kiddushin, right? Because if we said it's a bond, it's really midrabanan. So therefore, it's not considered that there was such a closeness that now we say we have to make sure they don't live in the same courtyard. Okay, beseder. Let's now look at halacha yud. Get kareach, kol mishalmim alav. And if you now, let's go back to this concept of this get kareach. So if you have a get kareach, so a get is missing a couple of signatures. Mashlimim alav kidivrei ben nanas. You can mashlimim, hakol mashlimim alav. Even psulei eidur are able to add signatures to fill in the gaps, just so you don't have this get kareach. Okay? But again, this is where there are more folds and signatures for this foldable get or contract. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein mashlimim ha'elav krovim haroim la'id b'makom acher. So he says, no, there's a problem. Only relatives that are kasha la'edut in other contexts are they able to be mashlim. Why so? The Korban Eder says, she'ein aleim psul edut ela kurva. Meaning the only issue is the fact that they're related. But an Eved or a Gazlan, you shouldn't let them write on this document at all. Because Eved, some people might think that he's not an Eved if they see a signature on a document after the Sukkah Le'uchsin. And a Gazlan, people say maybe, oh, the reason why he accepted his signature because he did tshuva. But when it comes to a Karov, everyone knows they're related and it was just a pasul signature being added. So in other words, according to Rabbi Kiva, yes, you're allowed pasul people to, if you like, add, but not psulim that you might misinterpret their presence on the document. Okay. Gemara says, Ezu get kareach. What's this get kareach? Kol shukash sharav mirubam me'edav. That's when there are more folds in this document, fold and stitched, if you like, then there are witnesses. So the Gemara now says, get kareach kol mashlimim alav. The Gemara says, uminayim le get mekushar. Where do you see the concept that a get mekushar even works? So Amrav imi, k'tiv ve'kachat ha-sefer ha-mikneh ve'tachatum. This is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. So I'll read the full pasuk. K'kachat ha-sefer ha-mikneh etachatum, the sealed one. Ha-mitzvah chukim ve'etach galui. So there's a reference something sealed and something exposed. So the chatum is a get mekushar, and the galui, et ha-galui, zet ha-pashut shebe mekushar, which is the open ones. And the Gemara says, ve'et ha-mitzvah, probably should change this, ve'ha-chukim. What does it mean? Chukim mitzvot bein zeh lezeh. That a get pashut and a get mekushar have two different dinim. Why? Shezesh b'shnaim, on a normal get, you only need two signatures. On a get mekushar, you have to have at least three signatures. Zeh mitoch v'zeh macharav. A get pashut, the signatures are inside the document. But as we said, when it comes to mekushar, the signatures are on the back. The way I explained it is once you fold it down, you write on the back of where the writing was. So on the back side of it, as you fold it down. However, Rabbah says, B'shem Rav Yehuda, Pashut edav l'rochvo mekushar l'orko, which is a different pshat and get mekushar. Whereas normally documents, you have the writing and the signatures are in line, parallel, if you like, to the actual text. When it comes to mekushar, according to Rabbah B'shem Rav Yehuda, if the document was, if you like, portrait, you turn the document landscape and you sign that way. Okay, so it's perpendicular to the text. However, Amar Rav Idi, no, it's being kesher le kesher aidim chutulmim. He says, no, it's really between the folds like I demonstrated in the beginning. Ubelvad milamala. So explain what that means soon. V'chash v'mar, the Gemara says, maybe shema ziyef. So maybe if they're signing and there's as it's being folded, maybe something was added at the end. So Sava Rav Huna, no, lamemer lolam, eina eim chotmim bo milamatan, ad shikru bo lamalan. Ani ploni ploni mekubal alai kol masha shekatuv bo milamala. The reason is, and the question is, if you're having the signatures on the back, maybe extra stuff was added at the bottom. So, or after. So the Gemara now says is no, that someone is only allowed to write a document sign a document, if you see the closing words that so-and-so, I accept everything within this document. Okay? So once they see all that, fine, then you know nothing's been added, now they can sign all the signatures. The Gemara says, v'chash lomar, maybe shemachak, v'chazar v'zif, maybe it was wiped out. The common essay has to take out the word machak, that makes more sense. It says, v'chash lomar shema, it really chazar v'zif. That maybe what happened is after the bottom, he added more text and then put the signatures there. So and then animal text. So Savarav Huna says Mukubalalai Shnepamim Pasul. That this closing sentence of I accept everything's written above in the document cannot be written twice. So therefore, in other words, there's no opportunity to add anything extra after the first Mukubalalai, because if there's another Mukubalalai after it, we completely disregard it, it'd be pasul. So chash lomar, maybe shema katav darim acharim, or v'chazar machak v'ziyef, maybe it simply wiped out that section at the bottom of the document of mukubalali, added more text, and put a mukubal at the end. So savar avona machak pasul afilu kayam. In other words, he is saying that if there's a machak at the bottom of a document, that would be considered pasul. So now there's no chashash of any ziyuf in this when it comes to this, if you like, get mukushar, even though the signatures are at the back. Now it's important to understand, and I want to read this Korban Eder. He says, Rav Huna shtarshin imchak bo devar, pasul afilu nikem ba'idim. Okay? V'haynu sh'oto machak b'sof ashtar. That's when the machak is the end of the document. Makom sh'yesh lomar sh'yesh sh'haya katu bo mekubal. If there's a potential to be that which is wiped out was a section where he says, this is where I accept everything above in the document, kagom batar b'manak de kashal mikneh bay. after everything that's written in it. Umachaku v'igia, that's when it's puzzled. If there was some sort of tikkun in the middle, it doesn't mean you can't have any machak in the document. That's what the Korban is teaching us. It doesn't mean anything. Umachaku, if he just wiped out a little bit, there was a correction in the middle of it. V'acharkaf, and then the bottom he wrote makabalalai, then it'll be fine. Because any corrections would have been asserted and affirmed at the end of the document. And that's why when it's only talking about really the machak at the end. Fine. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, leipa teitzeh. So what? Let's leipa teitzeh. It's important to understand the Korbanik says if you use a get kareach, it says that when it says teitzeh in the Mishnah, ela filu kansa b'shtei kareach b'diyeved lo teitzeh. So he disagrees and says if a get kareach was used b'diyeved, in other words, after the fact, we say that actually she doesn't need to get to, and she got married based on that get. She had to get divorced from husband number one and number two and all the penalties necessarily. So Amrav Imi. Kama kupim de uvda have alil kamir of Yochanan. There are many incidents that came from Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlakish. Ve'inun amrin, they said pok v'shalim k'Rabbi Akiva, and they said, look, you should go and complete and fill in the gaps like Rabbi Akiva. In other words, l'chakila, you shouldn't use a get kareach. So Amrav Yossi matnitim b'mechusar edechad. So this the reading of this Gemara is a little bit difficult, but I'll explain it like Korban Eder, and he says that when we have this problem, that's when there was a missing doc signature that you tried to fill in a pasul aid prior to three proper signatures being written. Okay, three kosher ones. That's when you got the machloket. It says, so I'll just read it clear. Lamala, one witness is missing. Kodim shechatmu before the three signatures have been written. Aval, then it says, but however, and then it says, "Ubilvan mishlosh lamala," and it says, "Shnayim b'shusha lamalan pasul v'achad mishusha lamata kasher." Now, this reading is a little bit difficult to work with the explanation of the Korban Eder, but I'll read the Korban Eder inside. He says, "Ubilvan achatumim b'shlosha edim kodem miluya." Before, in other words, it's okay provided that you filled in three signatures before. I mean, sorry, you had three kosher signatures before filling in the gaps. V'achaser, and the chaser is the fourth one. If there are empty gaps before three signatures were written properly, then it's pasul malato. You cannot fill it in with pasul signatures. If you already got chatumim, if you already got three signatures, then it would be kasher. It says, so I think I might have to read in the Gemara, not v'achad mishlosha, probably v'achar mishlosha lamata, then it's kasher. That's probably you'd have to read it in the Gemara to make it work with the Korban Eder. So the Gemara then says, now it's important to understand here, he said the three kosher witnesses have to be written first. Now, does that mean location-wise, as in the three first three signatures in the shtar, or does it mean the first simply three? That's why the Gemara asks now, Rav Mana baye ad kadum beretzufim. That's if they're all written one after the other. What if it was one space, one space, one space, and I now have three kosher signatures written first, chronologically written first, but not in the document? Can I fill in the gaps now with pasul signatures? Or does it really act, or does it, is the position that he has to actually write the first three signatures in a row first? So the Gemara says, "Kaid Rav Ba b'shem Rav Yirmiyah Edim Psulim Einam Nasim Keherchak Edut Shlo Bal Elabach Shir Shel Get v'Kokan." So what he's saying here is that we know that if there's two line gap in a normal shtar, then we consider that pasul. Why? Meaning there's a two-line gap between the body of the text and the signatures. It's parcel because we're concerned that someone might insert something in those lines. But we've learned previously that what you can do is you can use parcel signatures to fill that in. I'll just show you here in the Korban Eder to make it clear. Problem. And use parcel signatures. I feel like you could use kasher. It would be kasher to fill in that gap with parcel signatures. You can't add anything to that space. There's no concern of like injecting stuff into the contract. And the parcel witnesses are only doing that to fill in the gap. So to afal pisha shua edim kshirim chatumim besirugin, despite the fact that in our case, if the three signatures were first written and there were gaps between them, as long as they were written chronologically first, you can fill in those gaps with pasul signatures. More than one, it sounds like. The Pnei Moshe has a very different reading of this sugya. Now it says, Hayutisha. What if you've got, now this part is also a little bit difficult to understand. Hayutisha, let's say there were nine folds, and unfortunately there were only seven signatures, seven people to sign. So what do you say? Ain, you here, the Korbanet says, Ain matir shnaim umechtam shnaim. Or Ain shnei edim baget mekushar klum. So I'll read the Korbanet, what it means. Hachi prosh, ima you nine ksharim. You and you've what can you and you've you don't have enough people to sign. You can't undo two ksharim and then so unfold, say fold six and seven, and then put the last two signatures as your signatures. So have a gap between the last two signatures and the body. Because these last two signatures, there's going to be a gap between them and the text. And we've said previously, if there's a gap, there's a concern. Maybe there's what's called a ziyuf. Maybe there's some forgery going to be injected into that space. Maybe, so therefore, maybe pasul, or maybe not. Because here we're dealing with what's called a get mukushar. Or Dilma Kevan Sha'ein Shnein Mukushar Klum, that two witnesses are insufficient in a get mukushar. It's not considered substantial. You need specific three, can an amperi get pashur. Imken Yacholatir. Maybe then you can actually undo those two folds. And just have a gap if you want, and have the last two signatures that got to the folds end up equaling the number of witnesses. That's kind of the question here. So the Gemara then adds, so that's really the question. So or ancient or ancient ain adim beket mushaklum. However, hayu chamisha pshita shumatir echad umichtam echad. So here, let's say there were five folds, and you've got about four witnesses. This kind of way it's explained. Then clearly you can have fold number four open and write a signature down below. Why? Because in that situation, quite clearly, that once we're not going to make any mashma'ut if there's any forgery above the single signature because one witness isn't significant. That's the way he explains it. In other words, so you find here that the hatara is matir, meaning undoing a knot. Is being matir because you're now making the same amount of signatures as there are folds. And this is very much like Rav Chanina, Chananya, sorry, Ben Gamliel, Omer, which is, he got Hatoref Kasher, but the gears of change that we have the Koran, the Koranet is, Mukushar Shekatvu Eidav Mitocho, Kasher Mipnei Shecho La'asot HaBashut. For example, this is got to get Mukushar. It's all sewn together nicely. But the witness is written inside it. He says, just simply matiroto, undo all the folds. And what does it look like when it's all unfolded? It looks like a normal get pashut, and you've got a get pashut with signatures inside that matir. So that's hatorato matarato. Okay, beseder, kol tov. Sorry.
When I showed my ketubah to the Masadr Kedushin
Yeah.
the day before the Chasana, he
Yeah.
said, no, he said, no, you have to fill in that space between the end of the ketubah and where the sofer has made the space for the Edim to sign. There was like two or three lines
There was a
between.
gap. Yeah, it was a puzzle. So how did you fill it in?
I filled it in. I'll send a picture.
I'm curious. It's actually interesting because I've seen, I was just at the museum recently and they had ketubot from the ages. One of these, I went to the Israel Museum. And there were many gets with the right, so ketubot, the writing is very, very small, all bunched up with massive amount of white space below it. I'm not really sure why they didn't make use of all the space, but clearly the signatures were there wasn't a space between the signature and the thing. The signatures were right up to where the text, the actual level was. Okay, beseder. Cool.
Shabbos.
Have a good shot.